Hi, Terry. Thank you so much for coming here and doing this with us today. Perhaps could you give me your full name and your social housing community?
My brother, Vincent Carney, age 61. Address, is it? 50 Dublin 8.
And what community is that? What kind of social housing?
Community would be, I'm actually with HAIL organisation.
Yeah.
And I just retired from my job in Thomas Court. It was the centre there. I was there for 23 years. And I just retired there last year because I just felt a bit old and, tired out and that, actually, believe it or not.
So maybe, Terry, we could start off. Where were you born?
I was actually born in St. James's, which I didn't know because I was adopted. Like, I only met my three sisters after 50 years. I didn't know them. And I met the three of them in one go, like, last year, so, so I was born, actually, but I know by my baptism says, which I got from the nuns, like, and I was actually born in St. Kevin's, which is called St. James's now, but it used to be St. Kevin's, and then I was baptised in St. Michael's in Inchicore, the chapel there. Then I was moved to an orphanage because my mother had to give me up to an orphanage in Magdalen's home in the Navan Road. I was there till 4 years of age. They transferred me to an orphanage in Drogheda, the Daughters of Charity, and I stayed there till I was 16. Sorry, I stayed there till I was 15. I was lucky to get a job in a hotel, actually, Boyne Valley Hotel. And Willie Widmore, he was the owner, he treated me like a son, like. But, I stayed in there for 3 years, the hotel. And I tried the army, but that didn't work out. And what else did I try? There wasn't much really, because when I left the hotel, I went to live in Rush, County Dublin, with an adoptive father, Christy. And, my adoptive mother died there last year, And my own mother committed suicide in 97, which I didn't know that till last year. So, 97, I took a breakdown actually at the same time, probably, but I didn't even know her. But that was the year I actually, when I think of it, like, whether it was... But anyway, I then moved to the... From the hotel, I moved up to Rush with the Farrans. I was there for a year and a half. Which was as long as I ever stayed with them, Because when I was adopted, but I was only taken out on holidays, like summer holidays and all that, But anyway, I ended up in Portrane, St. Edith's Hospital in Portrane, where I was really, really bad. Not drugs or drink, I didn't drink drugs then at all, like. And what happened was just then... I was there for 2.5 to 3 years, I'd say. That was in 84. Then I moved into a hospital in Marlborough Street, the Methodist Church, Rena. I was there for a year. Then I left due to an overdose. I went to live then the North Strand for a year in a flat. Well, I was sharing the flat with Paul O'Rourke, a friend of mine at the time. And it was his flat, like, so he let me stay, but I gave him the half rent and that, but then I ended up in St. Brendan's then in 1986. And I've been ever since 1986 though, Brendan's. The road has been very long. Homelessness, went on drugs. Tried to kill myself constantly through pain. I had a bit of a bad pain, sciatic pain. And it's really bad if you have, if you know anything about sciatic, it's really, really discomfort, But anyway, I passed that off because my doctor father, he's 88 now, so I'm not going to solve. Ring him and tell him this, and you've done this, and you let him do that. Now, that's our way. So the pains eventually went anyway, It was after an injection, actually, believe it or not, yeah. But anyway, I went to Brendan's in 86 then. I stayed in the NFA unit, which was a homeless unit, you know, for homeless people in St. Brendan's. They called it the NFA, the No Fixed Abode Shelter. Then I left it there for about 7 months. I stayed in Buckingham Street in the same community. Used to own the it's a big fire station now. Well, it was a fire station. No, it was a fire station. And then I left then and went back up to Brendan's then. And then 97, I took a real bad breakdown. Real bad. Not pain now. The pain wasn't, you know, thank God for that. But I was,
So you were back in Brendan's then?
Oh, yeah, I was back in Brendan's, yeah. And then, 87 then, yeah. And in 1997, I was admitted into hospital, you know, where I went to court for breaking a window, you know, and the judge was careless, you believe it or not. And I went to court on the Friday. No, this was 97, and when everything went wrong. They sent me to Mountjoy for 2 days. And then they moved me to Dundrum for an assessment, psychiatric assessment. You know, and then I went up before the judge then, after doing a week's remand, and the judge said, pay 80 quid to the poor box. So lucky enough, I had money, so I was able to get to the poor box and say goodbye to the judge. So anyway, that's it. I ended up in the Morning Star hospital about 3 different times, with about 6 or 7 months, within 3 different times, you know. So I had really, I'm in Brendan's from 97. I went to Verge Mount. They transferred from Brendan's to Verge Mount for 6 months. Then I went back to Brendan's, and then Brendan's transferred me back to James's, Hospital 6. Then at 1921, I went into a hospital in Cork Street then. Little did I know my mother was from the area, you know. Little did I know the same street, Cork Street, like. But anyway, that was it, really.
And now you're with Hale. And how long have you been with Hale?
Yeah, I'm with Hale. I moved into the hospital for 16 years. In 2001 to 2017. I went into Hale then in 2017. Which is 8 years,
Eight years, it's one of your longest.
8 years. I don't know. I just look at waking up in the morning and say, I look in the mirror and say, Jesus, 60 bleed in one. And I'm trying to kill myself when I was 12.
And you're still here.
I'm still here, yeah. Hale has been, and I'm not just saying it, but they have been a real, real eye-opener for, you know. And I don't think about, not so much the apartment part, like, you know. But I think they draw a family. They don't draw, you know, a patient or client. Or that. It's just a family.
Terry, how do they do that? How do they do that?
By we go on out and like fishing trips and all that. They have all them sports days and that, you know, do things, different things they do. But unfortunately, I was able to do anything now for a couple of years now because I wasn't so well in my feet. Because I have 2 multiple fractures in both ankles. I have a fracture in the vertebra from a suicide attempt. So, yeah, I jumped off a building, so yeah. And then, that was it. But otherwise, now, Hale is.
Maybe could you describe just what is Hale? What is it? What is it?
Hail is what it says, hail. A hail over your head, like, you know, I mean, I was just saying about, like, you know. If Tom left now, you know, hail, like, I probably would leave the flat, being honest with you. I'm not just saying that now, because he's, and Colin as well, like, if Colin, he knows, like, if he left as well, should there be no point? You know, because they're the only two who come into my flat. I'd bring nobody in. I'm very, very bad when it comes to relationships in the past, and I mean very bad. You know,
So maybe could you describe to us, like, do you have a, it, what is Hale? Like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Hale is an organisation which was founded in Brendan's. And then it walked up then to that, where they are today. And then it opened up its houses for people in integration, taking them out of psychiatric units. Now, Hale, I think, will only take psychiatric units, which is good, because it'd be bad just to take drug addicts or alcoholics. They're not putting them down, like, you know, but Hale does have that, you know, goodness about it, like, you know. And anyway, yeah, they go on out and they give you, you know, magazine things once a month, like, Hale magazine. Last year, we had our Christmas party last year there. If the government was to give anything to any charity, you know, Hale, I only pay £46 a week.
But, and it's a sense of, it's not so much
the money, that's not the problem.
Yeah,
there. But
what's coming across me is the sense of community that you feel.
That's what I'm saying, family, yeah.
Yeah,
so
like,
We go, actually, Hale and St. Brendan's, you know, well, the Phoenix Care Centre, actually, we used to go to a place in Marnertown. Osmond House was named the place in Marnertown. We went there and met a few of them. Mick Walsh, you might know Mick, would you know? Mm-hmm. You might have known many of them.
Yeah.
But actually, a lot of them have died. If I was to count the deaths of all the people since my husband years, I've run into hundreds.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not joking.
Yeah. So,
run into hundreds.
Could you just, so is it like, do you have a one bedroom apartment?
Oh yeah, I live in an apartment.
Yeah.
Which is really big. And Tom brought me here last year. We got new curtains, we got new bed linen. You know, we got socks, clothes and all that, like a table we got. Then after meeting my sisters, they bought me a massive telly last year. And today's, but yeah, Friday just gone was my birthday. They gave me a big toaster and a big kettle. And they're getting me a frying thing as well now. One of these things you push sausages and that in, chips and that. You know? And then I keep telling them, don't be spending your money on me, you know. Like, you know, you don't have to spend your money to have me back as a brother, you know. Like, that's how I like, you know.
But it's still nice. Yeah.
But I get every week now, I put money by for the hospice in Raheny. I give them a bag of money once a month, like.
Yeah, so is this the first time you've lived on your own, like you've lived on your own, in your own place?
8 years, by myself, yeah.
Yes, and it's the first place that you really feel you have a key to your place.
Oh, yeah.
Would you agree with that?
Yes, I mean, I don't even have a key to me flat. And that's just being honest with you. You know, so.
And do they have things to help you kind of gain the skills you need to live on your own that you may not have had?
Well, by making appointments, arranging to meet up, and then we have things. Hale has a great support called the Hale Peers.
You know, what is that? Could you talk to us about
the
that?
The Hale Peers will be people who be like me, but they're studied, they're more advanced than, you know, like in what they do, education. But actually, I had a good friend of mine, Paddy was his name, and he was me a peer for 3 years. For the first 3 months I was in the flat, the apartment, and Hale doesn't allow the Hale Peers to go to the client's house. Or you can't buy food with them and that, you know, like, you know.
Yes.
That's
what they have boundaries.
Yeah,
yes.
Boundaries.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So I was happy enough for that. But Paddy, he was a great lad. We used to go out to Dunleary a lot. I have a bus pass, so I can hop on the bus whenever I want. You know. But I'll be honest with you, Hale, Hell would be something like a haven for somebody who's who had bad psychiatric treatment. And you, they offer you a day centre, actually, by the way. You can go to the hub is up in the North Circle. Like, they have all services. Like, you have psychologist services, which I have. Every Friday I have a psychologist meeting. And you have OTs, occupation therapists, social workers. You have everything, like, you know. So, and then, hey, you know. Like, yeah, I think anyone who is, any doctors, who psychiatric doctors, like, don't put them into a homeless hostel. Because that's what it is a homeless hostel. Hey, this is your home.
Yeah, you have a home. Yeah, you have your home.
Yeah, so it would be like, being honest with you, it'd be no good for throwing a psychiatric patient into, into a homeless household. It's going to make things worse for them.
Yeah.
You know? Hell don't take away all my problems. You know what I mean? Like,
if only we could have something that takes away all our problems.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But it does give you something that you wouldn't have had before this.
No,
to me, it sounds like, I don't, not to put words in your mouth, but that's what it sounds like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's very good at that. Maybe could you, how many, like in your unit, how many apartments are there?
There is 52 apartments.
There's 52 apartments. So, so do you get on with your neighbours?
I don't talk to my neighbours.
You don't talk to your neighbours, okay.
Yeah. I just walk in with that and out of that. But there's actually two Hale clients are actually living in the same flat. You know, so, but I say hello to them, all right. But I wouldn't knock at the door, like. Whenever I see him going in, or them going, you know, I say, "Ah, how is your way? Have you had anything about hair dues or anything?" And he'd say, "Yeah, yeah." So yeah.
So is Hale a housing organization, or
it's a housing organization run by the I think it's the, what's that place? The housing department place, Dublin. Oh, what's the name of the house in them?
We'd be a housing body kind of like that, you know, like to, but it was people come to us who are on the housing list.
Yes.
Yeah.
Dublin housing, yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
Dublin City Council, yeah.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, Hale having an agreement with them, you know, and the Dublin City, they pay for half, and the government are paid the other half for the rent boys.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so it's still.
And do you remember when you first, who brought you together with Hale? Was it?
I was actually in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
In Weir Home in Corktree, where I was for 16 years. But I met a girl there in the hospital. She was a social worker. Don't ask me her name now, because so many have had some. But anyway, she asked me, would be interested in going to a place called where Hale. I wasn't sure at the time. At that time, I probably would have said yeah to anything, you know, whether we go to Hale or whether they want me to go to the Wicklow Mountains, like, you know, sort of way. I'm gone, like.
Yeah.
You know, but, no, it's,
So she introduced you to this concept that there's this place called Hale.
Yeah, yeah.
And were you put on a waiting list then?
I was put on a waiting list, but the waiting list only lasted for 3 weeks. And I had the flat in 2 weeks. Now, I was offered, Hale offered me 5 different types of apartments, like, you know, like, all over Dublin, like, they had the 5. But I was happy enough to just go for the one I'm in now. You know, so.
And do you remember the day you got the key to that place?
Oh, Jesus.
Could you talk to us about that? What happened that day? Talk to us about
that. I'll tell you what, the social worker and the nurse, psychiatric nurse, showed me in, like, to the flat. Oh, it was great. Massive. I said, I'm not going to stay here for now.
Why did you think that? Why did you say that?
Because it was too big, really, you know.
Did you think you didn't deserve it?
I don't think anyone deserves someone like, but, you know, you have to give respect to someone, you know, that way as well. And you have to respect people's boundaries too, you know.
So you walked in and it was big.
Oh, it was massive. Then the welfare paid for the electricity, you know, the fridge. And I made sure I got them to pay that. You know, so
you got your fridge, you got your cooker.
Yeah. And Thomas, I can get Daniel, is it, out there? He does the tradesman. Daniel.
Dara.
There's a man called Dara, and if your toilet breaks or if your electricity goes off or something breaks or something, you have your ring Hale, and Hale will ring him, and he'll come in and he'll fix it for you for nothing, like. You know, so
great services. Like
great
that.
Services. Oh, yeah. The services are all there, like.
Yeah.
But the only thing what's not there in Hale is, you know, understanding people that they have problems, you know. And most of them who end up psychiatric anyway are homeless anyway. They move from the homeless into psychiatric system, which is really, really a bad thing, you know. And rather, I mean, I prefer to call my place home. But if I was going to go into the Morning Star and that, I would just, it wouldn't be worth it then, you know, that's that way, you know. So I used to be afraid of getting kicked out in the hostel.
What was the first meal you cooked for yourself in your first place?
First meal wasn't until about 2 weeks, the first 2 weeks actually. I was eating sandwiches up to that. And I brought two friends of mine from the hostel. about two of them down to the hostel, to the flat, like, and I cooked them a lovely ham dinner, potato, beans, I've done as well, yeah. Mm. And I gave it out to them. But then one of them, he had that, like, a few of them, I think I gave him too much. He conked out for 3 hours. I had to bring him back up a taxi, I had to get a taxi just up, down the road, up the road, like the Cork Street. And that was it. And then the next meal I ever done was on a Christmas Day, actually. You know, and that was by myself, actually, believe it or not. You know. But I'm sort of the person who, you know, I'm not cooking for one person, you know, that's how the way. So I was telling, there's a place called The Little Flower. Tom put me onto that, like, the hell, he put me into it. And they're starting to deliver dinners now, you know, meals and meals.
Yeah.
You know, so it can be, that's the records I'm not eating enough, which she's right, I eat more, I don't want to sort of say, you know. So they're starting that on Wednesday now. So I'll have a dinner now, so I don't have to worry about it.
And you have your new toaster?
I have a new toaster.
So you'll have toast in the morning?
Yeah, and a massive telly. It's like the cinema this telly is.
So it is. So how would you describe your home? What does it mean to you?
My home means something to be proud of. For myself, within myself, not to anybody else. Like, you know, like, my heart is in the place. It's good. If it's in the brain, it's not really as good. But the heart, it would be. You know, so. You know.
So. Your home is a place of pride for you now, would you say?
Yeah. It's, you know, sometimes you say, why did they do this? Why didn't they do this? Why didn't I do this years and years ago? You know, why did it take 16 years in a hospital? Like, and then Brandon's for, you know, odd years as well. So, you know, it's hard to explain it, though, but, you know.
But you have it now.
Yeah.
You have it now.
Like, the only way I would put it is, you know, just accept the people who you you meet up with in organisations and that, you know, just show respect, really, probably. You know. See, I see some patients, like, and they'd be coursing the head, the nurses, everything and all that, you know, and. You know, I don't like that at all, like, you know, to be honest with you. You know, I don't like violence at all, to be honest with you, you know. Mm. Like, a bit of a coward whenever I'm on the street, really. I'm a bit of a coward. I probably come across now, but I am. You know what I mean? Like, there's times I think of getting mugged, like, you know, and...
You feel vulnerable.
Well, it's what I seem to be giving out, like, rather, you know, than coming in, like, you know, so I... I won't get into fights with that, you know.
But Kevin, that's a good segue, because I'm kind of thinking, what does having your home, what does it do to you? How does it make you feel?
It feels like I can make my own cup of tea, which you wouldn't be in a hostel. You can have a few drinks if you want, you know, which I've stopped actually. But anyway, that's because I'm going on. But I'd love to be able to show people that, but I can't. But I do it up as if there were people looking at it, you know. So when I have a spot that's clean.
Yeah.
Like Tom comes to me once every 2 weeks, probably once every 3 weeks, you know. And I see the psychologist once every year now. Yeah, so.
So that would be far less than in previous years. Yeah.
And I see a psychologist every Friday anyway.
Yes, yeah.
But like Tom, they have to let you go. They'll have to let go of their clients. You know, let them go to sort themselves out, you know.
But it gives you the space. Yes, it gives you the space.
It gives you the space, yeah.
Yeah, that would have been really difficult. Like, I can't imagine your life would be where you are now if you were still in the hostel.
Yeah, yeah.
Would you agree with that?
I think I'd be dead. Mm. You know, I'm not afraid. I'm not saying this in a bad way, but. That doesn't bother me anyway, you know, it's that way. Even if you are, you know, if you're trying, it doesn't bother me, like, you know, I'm happy the way I'm quite contented, you know. Quite contented, actually, yeah. So many. There are bad people you meet, you know, but Hitler was a bad man as well, you know, it's that way, so. Yeah. And Trump as well, you know. So,
stop.
Yeah.
Terry, we're here because, again, it is the International Social Housing Festival in June. So, but it was really important to have the voices of the residents come through and just to let us know what is it like living in these communities and the importance of these communities. So if you had anything to say to people when they're thinking about social housing or the importance of social housing...
Would that be the sort of peer and... peers, you know, like...
Yeah, what would you say? What would you say?
I'd say to them, give it a go. You know, because I was taught I'd only do 2 weeks and 8 years, so... Just say to them, even do a week, even do 2 weeks. You know, I mean, don't just judge it by the day, you know, which you were the first day or that, you know.
So, could you say you're surprised at your experience? It's not what you expected.
Yes, I'm very surprised, yeah. I got my life back together, actually. I don't life up to that. Up to 8 years ago. Like, in the hostel, I had really no life. I had no family. Neither. I met my three sisters there last year. For the first time after 50 years, I never met them. Like.
Maybe they came to you at a time where you could have a better
actually,
relationship.
It was me who actually went. I actually went to Bernardo's, and a woman called Mary Bone, She went and looked for them, and my mother committed suicide, so yeah, and that was it then. But the sister, and one of the sisters, I just cannot. I had this a year and a half ago, and I'm 60. I'm 60, yeah, a year and a half. And yet, Sandy was born shortly after me, Sandy. But then Lisa and Anita were born 5 years apart from them. Yeah, 50 years, yeah. 50 years.
Life can be amazing sometimes, can't it?
Yeah. And now I can't get them out of my bags. Buying me everything. They're buying me a tea. They're buying me here. Help, I used to say.
I know. Spoiling their big brother?
Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
Daughter, help me here, please.
But that's it. Is there anything else? Do you have any stories or any other thoughts that are coming to you that you'd like to share?
I think, yeah. No, I'm just happy, you know, at all.
Hey.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
At the end of the day, it's up to you how you handle the day, you know. If I start looking at the future, I'd have no present then, you know, like, being honest with you. And knowing I can ring hair whenever I want, like, and knowing I can ring the HSE, you know, I'll be honest with you, on my phone, believe it or not, and I'll just show you there's something here. And so you have to have a phone as well, like, you know. I only have 5 numbers on this. And one is just to let you know, like, that's me, Norris. That's me, sister Sandy, one of me sisters, the mad one. That's me, friend Eric. He's an AA member for 40 years, like. And that's me, psychologist. And that's Tom. They're the only 5 numbers I have on the phone.
But it's a huge support network for you.
But it's a huge support network, mm-hmm. Yeah. See what I'm saying?
Mm. Well, Terry,